my god.
Are we rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling, man. Good,
okay. Start fucking rolling, dude. Okay. Do your job, dude.
I'm doing my job. So, Anthony.
Do your job, dude.
We're squeezing this in on Sunday because the other two are busy. I went to a wedding. We're here late on Sunday. Anthony.
It's so wet.
It's a grapefruit, yes. It's so wet. Anthony has his coffee, and we're getting into the shed that this set is in. He steps down. He tries to adjust the door and his coffee at the same time, and then he spills his coffee.
No, I didn't just spill. A piece of fucking wood comes down,
yeah.
Hits my hand, and knocks the coffee out of my hand.
Yeah. So it knocks it out of his hand, and then it spills all over the stairs, and then it gets on the ATEM that we use to record, which is worrisome, but we clean it up. It's all good. It's a little sticky, if anything, but everything seems to be working. And then Anthony lays down again, and then immediately spills his coffee again.
This one was on me. This one was on me.
What type of coffee is it, man?
It's the same coffee I get last time, man!
Is it the macadamia
yes,
nut one?
Man.
I had one of those today.
They're good!
Dude, I got it for the first time at the airport.
They're really sweet!
Oh my god.
It's sugar for my milky bone.
We get another shirt
and
we'll
first question
ready.
Is from Anonymous. They're 21. They say, should I buy a coffee holder or should I get a Stanley cup, maybe? Jesus Christ, dude. Thank God the equipment works. We're buying a bunch of new stuff right now for the D&D show. We're spending a bunch of money on like new 4K equipment and things like that. And it would suck if we had to buy coffee damaged items. I do this. My laptop. I spilled miso soup on my laptop 2 weeks ago, and I finally got it repaired. But getting it repaired just meant replacing all of the parts. So it's basically just a new laptop. I spilled miso soup in bed on my laptop. So this is less bad than that. And now Anthony has gotten a nice navy blue scam mogul sweatshirt that we'll be selling later this summer.
Oh, this isn't available yet?
No, sir. We sold it in gray.
Shouts out. It's blue now, bitch.
It's blue. And I'd argue
chew
it's
on
better.
That.
Okay, are you fine now? You don't even, and you've given up on the coffee.
No, it's right here. I'll keep it low. I want that pillow, though.
I'm gonna kick it over. Do you want my pillow?
No, it's fine.
You can have my pillow if you want. Okay. This is a rough start. It's not, usually not like this.
A piece of wood fell onto my hand.
Where would it have fallen from?
Dude, I threw it.
Oh, it's raining wood inside the office.
Did you see me? You want me to get it?
Raining.
I'm gonna show them. Piece of shit.
Fucking raining wood.
I'm
gonna be honest, I thought he just popped the top off the coffee by accident by squeezing it or something. Where did that fall from?
From right here. That's what happened.
That looks light.
It is light, but it just fell on my hand, like tightened my grip like fucking Goku. And it fucking
okay. It's funny because you came in. When you spilled the coffee the second time, you kept mumbling to yourself before we were even on camera. You kept mumbling to yourself. It's like, that was my bad.
That one was my bad.
And I thought you were just making a joke because in my head, they were both clearly
your
bad.
Yeah, that would have been actually way funnier. but the first one wasn't.
But God did intervene on the first one. Ugh, Jesus. What's going on with you today?
It's going to smell like coffee in here forever.
It smells like coffee right now.
I know, but
it's soaked into the fucking cushions.
The zipper is going to have to like scrape out the ATEM with a toothbrush.
God.
I'm going to tell him right now.
Zipper, get your ATEM, scraper.
Okay.
Okay, well, Zipper, poor Zipper, man. He's already moving the new D&D table around everywhere. We got a new table, by the way. Because
yeah.
The old one was too heavy.
This is the whole fucking thing.
Shocker.
Shocking, brah.
Okay, well, I just got back from a wedding. Slime is having a rough day. But we're still going to dive into some questions for you guys. I got to be honest. We got an insane question this week.
Hold on. Can you read what I put in the group chat?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see what Anthony... let's see how Anthony updated... Dude, what the fuck? He said, Aiden spilled coffee on the ATM for advice. Not a lot got on it. Everything seems like it works fine. Might want to check after.
Just a man. Now who's... Now who controls the information controls the populace. Who controlleth the populace? Amen. He doesn't like
he
it.
He just got first to the messaging.
I got first to it.
Yeah, fucking, I don't like this.
You need to report on findings you find.
Because me spilling the coffee and damaging the ATEM is incredibly believable.
I know.
Incredibly believable. In fact, if I was betting which one of us was more likely to do that, it would be me.
I let you tag zippers and the footage will clear me. It actually will. But for a moment, for a brief moment.
The whole confession, you're like, luckily the damaged ATEM will bail me out by deleting. This whole episode won't even go fucking up because the coffee's going to fucking short circuit the ATEM halfway through.
For a brief moment in time, no one will be sure. And that's when I'll make my greatest escape.
And you just love running. In the before the ankle bracelet gets on,
before it starts beeping, I'll be on a plane to fucking Tijuana.
Do you do this? I don't know if you do this too. You know, this sounds bad, but when I fantasize about committing crimes, I'm like, I'll definitely get to the airport in time before they get me.
I fantasize. I don't fantasize, but
yeah,
I genuinely think about how in this modern day and age are you able to murder a person if you're a criminal.
That's kind of what I mean.
And it's really hard.
Yeah, it's
like
tough.
Really hard to do. Back in like the 1850s, you could kill a guy that you had a problem with. Well, okay. The thing about murder trials is the why serial killers are so hard to get is because they have no motive. They're just killing indiscriminately. So usually there's a reason you would be like compelled to kill another human being, which makes it easy sort of to find out who did what. Typically.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, well, I don't want to kill indiscriminately or discriminately, so I guess this is a moot point. But I still think about, like, all right, but if I did.
But I, exactly. That's the situation. That's the sentence that comes to mind. It was like, but if I did
like,
do
if
it,
I want to kill Nick Yingling.
Could I, if I wanted to, which I don't but if I wanted to kill Nick Yingling, I could get to the airport and fly to Russia in time. And then I'd shack up with Snowden and then give
Russia's
me amnesty.
Any state that doesn't have extradition.
Yeah.
Colombia has extradition. I don't know. There's somewhere lit that doesn't have it.
There's so many places that do, though.
I know.
Dude, the U.S. comes calling, most places cave.
I know. But there's some places where they're like, nope. Not us.
Won't be doing that. Hello.
He might be living in a 7-Eleven in our...
We don't know. Yeah.
We don't care, but we also don't know.
And that's what I would
care.
Do if I killed Nick Yingling, which I would never do.
Let's look it up. States, countries without U.S. extradition. Countries without U.S. extradition. China, Montenegro, Algeria, Azerbaijan. There's only 20. Botswana, Ukraine?
Really?
You guys better get on that.
I kill Nick Yingling. I go join the war effort. I become a hero.
Wait, Colombia doesn't have extradition. I thought they did.
Wait.
The UAE?
Really?
Albania?
There's no... Okay, some of these, in my well-educated geopolitical opinion that has grown from a wealth of knowledge professionally and anecdotally.
Yes.
I'm sure that if push comes to shove, Eamon Gaiman murders Nick Yingling... And he goes to the UAE to escape, and the U.S. says, can we get our guy back? The UAE gives me back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet on that one.
That's on the top of your list.
Yeah.
I would say Albania, too, man. Like, you can get Albania to play ball.
That's what I think. I think the U.S., I'm not going to pretend like I have the political value that Edward Snowden does, you know?
Oh, my God. It's called the GlobalCitizenSolutions.com. Best non-extradition countries in 2024. Safeguard your freedom.
Brought to you by Surfshark VPN.
Dude, that's really funny.
That is really funny.
It just, it names all the countries. Anyway, yeah, I would go to Somalia, become a pirate.
I feel like all of the people that go to this website, like 99% of the traffic that goes to this website is what we're doing right now.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
And like,
the 1% is the guy who actually did it. And yeah, he's like trying to figure it out.
I want to live somewhere else without being in jail about it.
Yeah. I think I'd be better off. I feel like I'd be better off escaping into like the Canadian wilderness, like getting into Canada with my citizenship, no questions asked. And then like just trying to.
You could do that in the U.S.
Hmm?
You could do that in like Montana.
No, but they'd be looking for me.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't
Canada
care.
Wilderness, bigger.
Maybe.
More space.
I think as humans, it's all pretty big.
Mm.
I love your sovereignty.
I cover all of the wilderness in the U.S. within a few years. Canada takes me a bit longer.
You cover it.
I cover it all.
Doing what? Mapping it?
Like a
vacuuming,
mowing its lawn. I'm just thinking of activities you do in rows. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, do we have a question about extradition?
No, short on those this week. Yeah, get fucking creative, guys. Why don't you throw a few extradited criminals?
Yeah,
seeking advice.
We had a couple yard listeners in the joint.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, he's out now. He messaged me. He's sober now. It's great.
Good for him.
Yeah,
that was. It would be funny to get like a. Well, we're a little past due on this, but if we got like a submission from Julian Assange a few years ago, he's just like. I've been in the Ecuadorian embassy in the UK for years.
Yeah, we do.
Love the show, Yard Boys. Yeah. What do?
Like, jeez, that is a tough one. Have you tried communicating?
Have you tried talking to any of these people, being reasonable with them?
Dude, he's going to go through so many presidents.
Oh,
like
him?
Like, if there's a different president, like, basically, when he got sent over... When he fled the country, it was a way different president.
What's going on with him? You know, I'm not going to answer the question. I'm just going to look up what's up with
He's
Julian.
Just being
He's
chilling.
In the UK now, isn't he? Isn't he in prison in the UK?
I always thought he was in Russia.
Waiting. Yes. No, that's Edward Snowden.
Oh, Julian Assange.
Edward Snowden's Jay chilling in Russia.
Yeah.
Julian Assange is imprisoned in the UK, I think.
In a London dungeon.
I'm pretty sure. Like I don't think he's been extradited yet. Look, the first question, I'm not going to lie. This is one of those questions that is pretty insane. I will give it a little content warning. It does involve sexual abuse. And I think if you don't want to hear anything about that, you can just move on to a different question. No harm done. But this story is pretty, like... I think this problem and story are like pretty wild, and I don't know if we'll have the clearest answer of how to go forward here because it is ultimately very like personal and deals with like a family. But this question, I read it and I was like, holy shit.
All right.
So I kind of want to go over it. This person's anonymous. They're 21. Hi, Yard. Sorry if this is long as shit, but this is something I've been sitting on for a long time and I feel like I'm going insane. I'm going to change names on the extremely off chance any of my family members are tier 2 Yard viewers. LOL. I'm very close with both my parents and their respective families. Growing up, I experienced a lot of mental health problems. But something that was always constant was the presence of my immediate and extended family without being caught in the middle of any real drama, which I'm unbelievably grateful for to this day. There were some strange things, but they were never things that I was made to think were strange, if that makes sense. One of these things is my mom's brother, her only sibling, lived with my grandparents until he was 45 years old. He lived in their basement and he worked nights at a grocery store. And as a kid, I only ever really thought of it as, oh, cool, we're going to visit grandma and grandpa and we'll get to see Uncle Steve, too. And that was that. Years and years later, I learned that he was actually a heroin addict who had several severe mental problems. Yes, it runs in the family. How did you guess? I was probably 7 or 8 years old when he moved out, and he moved in with his coworker Lila and her 3 daughters, Jamie, Paulina, and Alexa. I don't know for sure if Lila and my uncle were ever romantically involved. I don't really think they were, but I wouldn't be surprised. And wildly enough, it doesn't actually make much of a difference in this situation because it's fucked either way. A couple years after my uncle and Lila moved in together, my grandparents moved a few states over to be closer to my mom. Whenever we visited my grandparents before they moved here, we'd see Lila and the girls as well, and eventually they started to basically become cousins to me and my sister. Jamie and I got along particularly well, and we had similar experiences with mental shit, so we bonded over that. Once my grandparents moved, Lila and Steve and the girls came to visit every so often. Last time I saw them was when Jamie and I were 13 at Thanksgiving. A couple years later, when I was 15, we were going to take a vacation together, my family, my grandparents, and Lila, Steve, and the girls, and I was really looking forward to it. I'd been texting Jamie a lot, and we were so excited to hang out and stay up late and watch scary movies. But about a week before the trip, Jamie just stopped responding to my texts. A few days after that, my parents told me that, in short, she had run away from home for 3 days, and this is what my mom told me. My uncle had walked in on Jamie and a boy hooking up and smoking weed together, and then Jamie, according to my mom, spoke to her counselor and made it sound like Uncle Steve did something that he didn't do. If she had said that to me now, at 21 years old, I'd know in an instant that's bullshit. But I was 15 and still really trusted the things my mom presented as facts. She then told me that charges were never pushed forward and that he had stopped living with Lila and the girls, and the girls wouldn't be coming on vacation with us because they were going to stay with their dad for a while. Weirdly enough, and I feel fucking disgusting even thinking about this now, Lila and Steve came with us like nothing ever happened. My mom completely cut all contact between me and the girls, got into my phone and blocked her number and social media accounts, and she told me she didn't want me to try to reach out to Jamie because she said she was a bad influence. Years came and went, and I never actually spoke to Jamie and her sisters again until recently. But Lila and Steve would still come to family functions and come to visit and whatnot. Lila and my grandmother would bring up the girls from time to time, but my uncle and my grandfather tended to avoid this subject. I just tried to avoid talking to Lila and Steve at all. It went on like that for 5 years, until last year when Jamie reached out to me. I was so unbelievably thrilled that she did because I could never find her on social media and her phone number had changed, and we started talking again. Jamie was also really happy to talk with me again because I guess I was the first person in my family to really take her seriously when she told me what actually happened. She was not hooking up with a guy. She was watching a movie with my uncle when he molested her, and that's why she ran away. She told me that this was an ongoing thing, and she had text conversations with him to prove it. He'd also ask her to get weed for him all the time, and they'd smoke together. It was illegal in their state at the time, and she had a plug. Also, to reiterate, she was 15. She'd shown these conversations to the cops, but she was a 15-year-old girl and a first-generation immigrant with a history of mental problems, so no one took her seriously. The cops just asked my uncle to move out to avoid further issues with this, so he moved a block away from Lila and the girls. It makes me sick, but it makes sense looking back. The dynamic between my uncle and Jamie always really weirded me out, and I never liked how he acted towards me either when I was old enough to understand social cues and shit. I also know Lila is extremely conservative, and she had said to Jamie that even if it did happen, it still would have been Jamie's fault. She was molested by a man 35 years older than her. Jamie and I were talking on FaceTime when we reconnected, and I heard Lila say some really horrid and abusive shit to her and her sisters just casually in the background. And Jamie was just kind of like, see what I mean, LOL. I've stayed in touch with Jamie since then, and it seems like she's doing all right. She's moved out to be closer to her college and farther from her mom. Lila and my parents don't know about this because I know damn well they'd freak the fuck out if they ever knew we were talking again. Backgrounds aside, this is the current issue. I don't know what my uncle and Lila actually told my mom and my grandparents. I assume it's the same thing that my mom told me, but I don't really know what to believe. The validity of Jamie's story is not part of the problem here. She had more evidence than just the text, and I have reason to believe that's true. My problem more so is that my mom let my uncle be alone around me and my sister for 5 years after this happened. She's still close with him, and he and Lila are still basically attached at the hip, even though they don't live together anymore. Even if my mom was told a lie, did she never stop to question it? Did she just blindly believe that Jamie was lying and my uncle was a victim? I genuinely can't look my mom in the eye the same way after talking to Jamie. I moved out of my parents' house a few months ago after Jamie told me all this, and I never told my mom that that was part of the reason why. My grandfather died shortly before Jamie and I reconnected, and there was a celebration for his life a few months afterwards, which both my uncle and Lila attended. And which I had to leave early because I almost threw up when I saw them. Part of me wants to forget this happened and simply avoid Steve and Lila at all costs and try my best not to think about it when I visit my parents, but I feel like that's doing a disservice to Jamie. But I also don't want to talk to my mom about this and risk bringing Jamie into more shit with my family because God knows she's already had enough already, and the last thing she needs is for this trauma to resurface. And there's another part of me that feels guilty for feeling this way
at all, because at the end of this day, this is Jamie's trauma and not mine. If I did talk to my mom about it, then the ideal outcome is that she believes me and apologizes and cuts out Steve and Lila. But my mom doesn't have a great track record for believing me when I come to her with feelings. I had a therapist who I told all of this to, but she basically just glossed over it and treated it like any other normal day in my life I was telling her about. I no longer have a therapist for different reasons. So basically, help. What do I do? Okay, just to be candid, we're not a replacement for therapy.
We are
just
not
to be
your
extremely clear.
Nor your lawyers. But we can tell you which countries can not extradite.
They don't
to the
have
States.
Extradition agreements with the US. That doesn't mean that they won't extradite you.
That's true.
If put under pressure.
You need to pressure the you need to make sure the country you go to, like Belarus, won't be pressured by the United States.
Yes.
Because they are a puppet state
right.
of the Russian government.
That's what, and I've been saying that.
Have some Belarusian listeners. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
I was like, wow. Well,
they're, dude, some of these guys are from everywhere.
That's crazy.
Dude, somebody DM'd me from Libya last week.
That's insane.
I was like, Libya?
Really? Let's go.
That's kind of sick. If you don't do an episode about this, I still appreciate you reading. I would be very happy for some guidance just knowing about that this is out there and this is being consumed by the eyes of other people. It feels good. Okay, so this is fucked. An awful realization to come to, for one. I feel incredibly, sorry for your close friend and basically family member. I am happy you got to reconnect with that person, at least. Because they seem like an important person in your life. There'd be a ton of emotion around this.
Oh, yeah. I think that horrible, unfair shit happens all the time. Especially to kids. Because they are sort of they are the personification of innocence. They're clay that hasn't been molded. And when shit happens to kids like this, it's just like, what the fuck? And I think that most of our jobs as being born on this bitch of an earth is to grapple with that unfairness and take back what we can. And I know I say it that way,
mm-hmm.
like we would take back the nation of Japan.
Yeah.
Because it's ours.
Because it's ours.
But like to sort of find to get away from that unfairness and live the best we can, right? And I think you're 21 right now, and that is like, it's a weird age because you're an adult, but you're not like I go to work and have a fucking family adult. You know, you're in that transitional phase, and I think what I would do if I were you, if I was in the same situation, because this type of thing is easy for me, I would just not talk to my mom anymore. If you don't rely on them financially, I'd be like, you know what? I don't like this, and I would try to carve out a life for myself where I can be safe and my friend / family member can be safe, and all of these things can be okay without them being involved. Because at the end of the day, that's all they can do is be emotional terrorists to you. Once you're free, you shut the phone off. You know what I mean? And it sounds simple. It's not. I get it. But like, that's what I would do. I would get away from this shit. Especially if talking to your mom right now at this moment in time would make her life harder, the girl. Because that's not fair to her, right? And like you said, that's a good point. It's like, this isn't your trauma.
Yeah, that was my main concern when I was reading this question, is I think people in your situation understandably feel this like anger and frustration and sickness and like want to confront people, want to challenge people for answers. But it sounds like Jamie on like the other end of this has done a lot to move on and like be rid of it, you know? And she's still like in a situation where she's like trapped with her mom as well. Or no, not anymore. It said she had moved out. Yeah. So I think given the effort she has made to like move on from this, the way that things are confronted and the ways that things can like bubble back and like resurface for her is something to be concerned about. I don't think I know enough about like her and the situation to like judge how realistic or not that is. It's tough. I think if you were really If you were really, really confident that it wouldn't blow back on her somehow, then asking your mom about it, but it still feels
like...
You should
talk like, to her. You should talk to Jamie first, right? Like, no matter what, like, because she is the one who this happened to and who is still, like, in the line of fire for stuff like this, she comes first.
Yeah.
So if, like, you really feel compelled to, like, confront your mom or whatever, you need to clear it with this person.
Yeah. Maybe just having a conversation with Jamie about it.
If it will affect her. If, now, let's say this happened to, like, a friend of yours that you haven't seen in 20 years and you have no connection to. Yeah, I would say confront your mom. Like, ask her about it. Like, if it will make you feel better, if it will bring you some sort of conclusion or peace, which is also a gamble, then I would say go ahead. But the problem is that you've stated that it will just affect her, and you want to be sure that won't happen before you start doing something for yourself.
Yeah. You...
Because that's what this would be. This doesn't sound like you want to, like, punish anyone.
It does
or whatever.
Suck, because you're kind of... You... Because in the most ideal situation, and you're giving your mother, like, the strongest benefit of the doubt, you're in a spot where you don't know, you're hoping basically that she took Lila and your uncle's story at face value and just believed it and didn't want you talking to this like bad influence anymore. And I think you mentioned, let me look one thing up. You said Lila is extremely conservative. If your mom is conservative, then, like, you kind of have a rationale behind her thinking that the story that she was told was a bad, like, this person was a bad influence. But I think you're second guessing of this, and, like, your mom not looking into it further or asking any questions. Like, I understand where the scrutiny and the worry comes from. And the anger in being around this guy for years after, while you were still young.
Yeah, it's...
You were still a kid yourself.
Just even being around family members that haven't done something as awful as what your uncle did sucks.
Yes.
You know, this is like... Normal awful family members. Like, it's always this fucking thing that you just have to put up with because they're your family. And as you might know, if you're an advice listener, I've never really... Like, I've had the luxury of not having to subscribe to that. My family is also always small and flawed and independent, down to the person. So, but I get it. But I think that the real important thing to recognize right now is all of this strife you're going through is all of the solutions you're looking for are to make you feel better. And that's okay, because it's you and that's your job. But this person that this happened to just comes first in all these situations.
Talking to Jamie first and seeing how she feels about the idea or the topic or like how you might bring this up with someone like your mom. And then I think from there, making a decision about how you interact with your family afterwards. I'd be inclined to agree with Anthony about cutting people off. Like, if you're no longer comfortable being in, maybe you're willing to like tolerate being around your mother and you can kind of believe in this like ambiguity that potentially exists. Like, say Jamie doesn't want you to talk about this any further, which I think would be
reasonable.
The situation with your mom is like, maybe you choose to believe that she didn't know any better, but I wouldn't want to fucking see Lila or your uncle ever again.
Yeah.
Like, I would just simply not want to be, his name's Steve, I would never want to be around those people.
Yeah.
Any sort of like family function or group outing that involves them, just dipping on and like not being present for anymore. I can see how that could create potential conflict where like if you haven't explained your like mom or like other family members like why that's the case, it might be hard to explain. But drawing a line where like you want to, where how you want to spend your time with your family is important, especially when like trust is like been broken so distinctly and like something so awful has happened. I don't think you need to tolerate being around somebody like that. In this situation where like Jamie says it's chill to bring up, and she says it's fine. So and maybe that's the case. Like asking your mom, just like, you can just be forward. Like, did you know? Like, did you know that this was a lie? Or like, did you know? Like, this is like what actually happened. Like, and figuring that out. And you know, in the case that your mom did lie to you, and it's obvious that she did cover something up, it's like, I would probably never talk to her again.
You have to think about what you want and what, in addition, like, obviously what Jamie wants is like, do you want to punish these people? Maybe that's the answer. But like, at the end of the day, your job, truly what you want is to live the best life possible. And I think all of the answers and the conclusions you come to should all point toward that goal. Because after like living through trauma, your job is to just keep living without trauma, you know? Like, you have to just live the best you can, because like, you can't undo what happened, and it fucking sucks. So I think you should think about your goals here, right? Your goal is to like live good and not have to think about like maybe your mom did something fucking awful, and it's your mom, like the person that raised you. But like, how do you get around that? You make the decision that results in you living the best life without harm, especially to this person that already experienced a lot of harm.
Yeah.
And that's like the sort of the nebulous advice that I think we can give is do what is best for her, because she's the one that this happened
for. For her first, I would say, yeah.
And then yourself. But you, I will say you're in this phase of your life right now where like you will start to break away from being your mom's son.
It did seem her mom's. Yeah, I didn't clarify the beginning. It's a woman who submitted this question.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So we assumed you were a boy because we're boys.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
I didn't assume anything.
You said him pronouns.
It said she.
You see
for this person?
For the main character?
Did I?
Yeah, all the time. Dumb slut. You nasty little slut.
Did I really?
Yeah, bitch.
Fuck me.
You're terrible.
This is actually just my problem then. My fault.
So Aiden misled me into thinking that you were someone you weren't.
It was an anonymous submission,
and
so I just
let
it.
That's terrible.
Into it. That's my fault.
I think that's a terrible thing to do.
Anyway, this is a tough problem. This is really hard.
But you're again, you will start to break away from being the idea of your mother's child, and you will become your own person in your own adult life, and that will be a crucial step toward this freedom of, you know,
it
influence.
It said. The person said she moved out of her parents' house.
Yeah, right. And so like there
you
go.
And this is fairly recent. And I think that's the beginning of like your adult independent life where you have the ability to draw those lines more distinctly. I think that the even tougher version of this question, not this exact context, but similar familial issues that we'll get asked about, is the person will be like 16. Or 17, right?
Yeah, and you're kind of stuck.
And you're just fucking trapped. Because you just don't have the adult autonomy to go, like, work and live on your own. Like, it's not even really an option in a lot of ways. And I think you are already making a step in the right direction by creating that independence for yourself, which is a really big part of, like, which will allow you to make the harder decisions of, like, you know, maybe cutting someone off if you need to. So I'd fucking best of luck with this.
You know,
best of luck to Jamie.
With this person who submitted this being a female asker of the question, mm-hmm. it makes the whole thing of her mom letting her uncle be around even more nefariously weird, right?
Yes.
Because like obviously if you know, it for obvious reasons. Anyway, that's crazy.
It is fucking insane. And that's
and I wish the best.
Really, really wish the best for you. Sheesh, man.
Tell you what, there's a list of countries that you should not show your uncle.
Yeah, do not show him like the United. Hey, if you're gonna run off, I heard the United Kingdom. D- doesn't extradite to the U.S.
You know, isn't that crazy?
They do.
They're still mad about that
Uncle,
whole
they
shit.
They speak English over there. It's a really easy country to integrate with.
Yeah, tell him Mexico. Yo, dude, Mexico is going to fucking be safe like in the movies, dude.
Super safe, super safe.
It's
going to
be so safe for you. Guess what? Guess
That's
what?
That's a subsection of NAFTA.
Guess what, Tio?
Stopped extra. All trade is free, but extradition was stopped.
Yeah. They wanted their cake and to eat it, too.
We'll go to it. I want to go to a more lighthearted question.
Yeah.
There is no serious answer to this question. I was intrigued by this because Otto made this new system that, there's like this little percentage point next to every question that we get. And the idea behind the percentage is like the closer to 100 the percent is, the more similar it is to questions that have already been asked before.
Oh, that's cool.
And it doesn't work great, admittedly. But anything that like most of the percentages are like between like high 60s to low 80s. And that's the majority of questions.
I see.
But some questions, for whatever reason, are 0%. And I took one of the 0% questions, and this person is a guy who's 26. Says his name is KYS Online.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not, you know,
okay,
but I was
relax.
Intrigued. I was intrigued by the question. Wanted to get this in before the advice show goes away. Context: I'm an individual painter and heavy equipment operator, and I wake up at 4 a.m. for work most days. I work long 12-plus-hour days in the Florida sun. It's pretty exhausting, but to keep me going, I usually have a black coffee in the morning to start my day, then 1 to 2 Monster Energy drinks, Zero Ultra, throughout the day.
Oh, dude.
I've tried to cut back several times on my caffeine intake, and I always end up needing that little boost to get me to 6 p.m. Over the years, I've noticed that even though I brush and floss twice a day and go to a dentist regularly, that I've had more and more issues with my teeth, and in particular, my enamel starting to wear away. Most of my coworkers smoke cigarettes or do dip, and it's pretty common in most blue-collar fields to rely on nicotine to get through the long days. Should I switch to Zins to maybe get that little boost of energy and focus and save my teeth? I've smoked once when I was 18 and never tried nicotine again.
How is
this
going to save your teeth?
What have been your experiences with nicotine, and did it help you focus your energy in any way?
Thanks for the advice.
I was just intrigued by the title, which said, should I switch from Monster to Zin to save my teeth? That was the summary.
Yeah. Okay. I can just imagine your eyes just gaunt. But people like you make the world fucking turn, so I want to preface this with to say, get it how you live. You're working a job that most people would break down mentally to do in this day and age. To answer your question, I don't think either are good for your teeth. I think introducing a foreign substance into your gums, even if it's like nicotine pouches, is actually bad for your teeth.
Yeah, I
would say.
I would guess. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I have no actual idea. I'm not going to sit here and recommend that you develop a nicotine addiction in place of your caffeine addiction.
Yeah, like I don't think. I think if you really... Okay, here's the chat answer. The chat answer is you want to reduce your caffeine intake, so you have to quit it. So you wean yourself off, and then you stop taking it, and you live a life without caffeine, which would suck. Especially if you've been fucking mainlining Monster No Ultra. Yankee No Brim.
Be challenging.
The other answer, and this is an alternative solution here.
Ooh.
And I want to be clear, this is not legal or medical advice, and never will. And this is actually parody, and also satire.
Okay.
This is a joke, what I'm about to tell you.
Yeah?
Maybe an Adderall prescription might help you. if you want clean, consistent energy throughout the day.
If you want clean, cheap heat.
You want clean, cheap heat with a switch on it. I think that's a better idea.
Use a different substance.
But like a controlled substance for energy. that makes you go, 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 go.
Hi, also speaking with satire here, I can't endorse any of this.
I
satirically don't endorse it.
I mean, the real answer is, like, you're living a life that is ultimately destructive to your body and your teeth.
Yeah.
And I will say, this is my real advice. You're 26. Shit's gonna start adding up. Working your hard-ass job in the hot sun is, like, fucking hats off to you. But now are the years where you want to set yourself up to take care of the next 20 years. Take it from a guy who's 34. You really start to feel it. In the next 4 years, you will start feeling it. And I don't want you to be caught with your pants down being like, oh, fuck, I should have done this and this. Start now. Real shit. Start making the steps to be, like, healthier, and maybe it's, like, drinking less caffeine or, like, not punching Zins.
You might be... Here's a thought. You might be better off replacing, like, for starters, short of just weaning off the monster, replacing some of it with more coffee.
Yeah, right.
I know black coffee isn't, like, amazing for your teeth, but it is absolutely better for your teeth than energy drinks are.
100%.
And you could just try taking one method of taking caffeine and replacing the other with it.
Here's my other solution.
Yeah.
Not parody, not satire, legal advice.
Okay.
Use a straw.
Real?
I'm not kidding. Because when I got my teeth whitened, I tried it once. I was like, I'll do what that's like. You're actually not, you're allowed to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But it's advised not to eat foods with color.
Oh, wow.
You have to, like, eat white foods because your teeth are really, like, sensitive and porous. And yeah. They'll absorb color, which is kind of interesting, right? And so you're advised to eat, like, egg whites and tortillas and food that doesn't have pigment. So, but especially don't drink coffee, right?
Yeah.
But a way around this is drink coffee with a straw and don't let it touch your teeth.
Oh, my God.
You might be able to have your cake
Dude,
and eat
go
it,
go straw mode.
Straw mode. But you have to, like, not swish it around your mouth, blood. You know what I'm saying?
It's got to go straight down.
Straight down into your gullet like you like it.
Damn. I never... See, that's why you have two people on the advice show.
There you go.
You never would have gotten that from me.
I was reading about it. I was like, this is crazy. Like, don't eat colored food for a week? All the food I like has colors in
it. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Red dye 4?
You can't have red 40 or yellow 5 to reduce your sperm count?
Okay, well, that's actually, that's a great piece of legal advice.
So if your real actual concern is just your teeth, look up specific strategies to dodge putting bad stuff on your teeth.
Honestly, I mean...
Also brush them, hoes.
Maybe the dentist answer just ends at, stop drinking Monster. But I would, you know, not a bad idea to talk to a medical professional.
We're also fucking Americans. And if we're going to work 12 hours in the hot Florida sun and now live in Florida, and we don't get to have our little yummy treat with the fucking 3 claw marks on it, what the fuck did we fight the Nazis for?
Yeah. What was it all for? Was it not to have a fucking zero ultra on my 12-hour shift?
Pissing me off.
I wonder if this
zero
guy works...
ultra, not no ultra.
No.
I thought he was clarifying.
No.
It's raw,
it's
literal full sugar.
It's literally the flavor zero ultra.
Oh,
it's the
right
white one. It's
I thought
the
he was
one.
Saying like Yankee no brim.
I used to drink zero ultras during Summit.
Yeah, we had them at Summit, dude. Those motherfuckers, those white ones,
dude.
We drank a lot of Monster at Summit.
We drank too much Monster at Summit.
They gave me the energy I needed to go. We have 44 minutes.
Oh, I misread that. I thought it said 22. I'm like, that is the longest 22 minutes of my life. Okay. Good luck with your teeth. Didn't love your aggressive name that you submitted with. But
yeah, you sound like I would get into a fight with you on Twitter.
Yeah. But
dude, I got into an argument with a guy on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it was about, like, Elden Ring, and he, like, we quote retweeted me. He was, like, really mean. And then we, like, got into a fucking... a fist fight about like you're being weird. He's like, no, you called me a schizo. I'm like, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And then I DM'd him because I was so fucking annoyed, and because he was getting really mad that I called his opinion a schizo opinion.
Yeah,
because he was just swearing at me about how Elden Ring is a bad game, which it's not. And I was like, do you ever think that sometimes people are watching you?
You DM'd him that?
Yeah. And I never do this. But then he DM'd me back, and he was mad at first, and then we actually, like, talked a little bit, and he was, like, really chill.
You commiserated?
We commiserated. I'm not kidding.
That's unbelievable. Actually very sweet. I read this. I don't think I read the thread for that long. I saw this, though.
It got
down
there.
I saw the beginning of this. Some of them go too deep that even I cannot follow.
Yeah, I don't do it for anyone except myself.
I know. And nothing makes me more mad than when people or like people viewing this say you do it for no, it's always been like this.
It's always been like this.
It has nothing to do with the following. It has nothing to do with anything. I hate when people say it to me. I hate when people say it to me. Because I was in the trenches replying to Fox.
We both were, dude.
I had no followers.
When we didn't have, nothing.
Because why would I not engage with the dumb fucking thing you're saying? Why would I not address it and say why you're wrong?
I hate when they're like, Why you're so fucking big? Why are you even responding to an account like me? It's like, because you're a human being. You're saying dumb shit.
It's a person across from me saying stuff. If you said it to me sitting next to me, I would say, why did
you say that?
Why would you say that?
What are you saying? It's crazy to me. It's so fucking poison.
Except you're talking about fucking Elden Ring, and I was talking about the merits of Round Robin. And why? And
one of us is fighting for justice, but it is up to the viewer to decide who.
only you can decide. Yeah, that piece of criticism always irks the fuck out of me when it's directed at you, and when I occasionally get it as well. Because I think I replied a few people down.
You're more clean.
But I used to reply to people all the time, and people would hit me with that. I remember getting called out for, like, adding this guy for, like, the way he played on Slippy against me, and then some other guy saw this and then got mad at me and accused me of, like, trying to, like, big dog and, like, bully the guy with my big account, and I was like, bro, I hate to break it to you, but I have always been this way. And
but they don't believe you when you say it.
I don't know what to do. Like,
Dude, I actually have so many funny things to talk about on the podcast. Nick Yingling did something really funny. I did something really funny.
You got a queue of funny stuff to go over?
Yeah, it's like the old days when we used to write it down.
God, it's like a... Well, it was like that thing I wanted to share on the pod. I forgot to share on the podcast. I got hit out of the blue with this DM about Josh, because Josh is at Smash Camp right now in Oregon. And Jiffy from Oregon Melee sends me, "We take Josh out to the bar. Everything is going great. He orders a catfish sandwich at our local joint. It's fire. Some random girl we don't know walks up. 'You are the sexiest person in this entire bar,' she says, and proceeds to take a bite out of his sandwich and then walks out of the bar. Josh is having a great time otherwise."
I will say, Josh doesn't like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that would invade his space a little bit.
I wouldn't want them to take a bite out of my sandwich.
Yeah, but you'd think a guy like Josh would be like, "Oh, that's crazy. All right." My mate, should take a bite of my sandwich. Well, fucking mate. Shit,
that's weirdly where he draws the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh also does this thing, it makes me want to fucking smack him, where I'll like have like a hair or a fuzz on my like face.
Yeah.
And he'll just reach over and just touch it unprompted.
Wait, does he just touch it but not take
it
off?
No, he'll try to get it.
Okay.
But he'll just do it so fast.
Yeah.
I don't have time to process what he's doing, so he's just like reaching toward my face.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. It's funny, though. If you did it, I would let you. I wouldn't think for two seconds.
You get away with it?
You get away with it. Yeah. Or if Dubbin does it.
My energy.
If Nick did it, I'd freak out. If Josh did it, I'd freak out. It's just like, yeah, it's an energy thing. It's an energy thing.
Okay. We got one. Let's fit in one more question.
Let's put one more question in this hole.
I got one other 0%er question, as referenced before. And this
be
one,
a 0%er.
And honestly, I feel like this one didn't deserve 0%. Otto, I don't know how this fucking works, but it doesn't work. But I still thought this question was interesting. This is from Freddy, who is 23. This is a very unique situation, and I need some advice for what I should do. When my ex and I were together, she had told me she was poly, and I was okay with that. My only boundary was that she wouldn't be with any of my close friends or coworkers or anything like that, because I thought it would make things weird between them and I. Then, a month or so into us dating, she admitted to me that she had feelings for a friend of mine. We talked about it, and she agreed to stop pursuing anything with him because it was against the boundary we had set. Things were good for a while, to the point where I was planning on moving in with her. I had signed a lease for the top floor of the house, and I would still have an entire space to myself. Then, she started spending a lot of time with my boss. I work in a small retail store, so everyone is friends with each other, and he knew everything that was happening with me and her beforehand. I had brought up how that was weird for me because it felt like she was breaking that boundary again. And he was also my boss, which added another weird factor. She told me nothing was happening, but proceeded to cancel another plan with me to hang out with him. I had brought up how this wasn't cool with me. She tried to reassure me again, but then she broke up with me the day after, saying she didn't think I was okay with her being poly. We still tried to stay good friends, and she still wanted me to move in. I didn't have another option, so I said okay, but things were very tense and not great between us as she continued to cancel most plans we had. About a month later, she is telling me to find somewhere else to live after I had already started moving my stuff in.
Oh.
Then, I was talking to my boss about the situation, and he admitted to me that he had feelings for her and that she asked me to move in because of him. I don't know what I should do because I really liked my job and I don't want to leave it, but I don't know if he's someone I can work for anymore. He's also one of the three owners of the store, and I really like the other two, but I don't know if it's enough for me to stay. Let me just clarify. My introduction to this question, I feel bad. I do think this question is somewhat unique. I only mean to reflect it's this relationship type question. I was just surprised it was a 0%. But the reason I picked this question is I do think it's unique.
Yeah, I think so too.
So
it's making me hurt. It's making my bones hurt.
Yeah.
Ah, God, dude. It's something this person didn't clarify if they were poly or not. Or if they were poly and have a couple beers afterward.
I got the assumption. From reading this, I feel like they are not.
Dude. Look. Not to be all...
Polyist. Polyist?
Just consider this a lesson. If you can't handle it, you can't handle it. And that's okay. Because some people can. And it's, to me, a classic old, good old red-blooded boy, I just can't do it. It hurts. I tried this. I didn't try it, like, for real. Like, we didn't, like... was a boyfriend-girlfriend type of thing, but I like this girl a lot. She's like, this is how I am. I'm like, that's fucking cool. I'll also fuck other people. But it didn't make me feel any better.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still upset when she did.
Yep.
And that's just how it is. That's just how, like, my wiring is. And her wiring was different. And that's okay. This is an epidemic. Young people all across the world are asking for open relationships, and most of them aren't okay with it.
Because they want to be, what?
They most
wanna be,
of them.
They want to be rad and progressive and cool.
In all of these situations, there's always someone who hates it.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Okay.
Maybe that's confirmation
as
bias.
As somebody who's a little different than Anthony, sees these things a little differently. I wouldn't call myself poly because I'm not seeking a poly relationship. I'm also not somebody who's seeking, I wouldn't say I'm seeking an open relationship by any means, but someone who sees these things in a more comfortable way than Anthony does. I think the biggest problem with this story and the consistent issue I see in most poly relationships where one person's giving it a crack is that boundaries are set and then boundaries are broken.
True.
And that is usually the issue. I think somebody decides to push the envelope a little too much because ultimately, if you're happy in this relationship and this person, she had followed all of the restrictions you had outlined, maybe everything would just be okay right now.
But
she decided
she
to break the boundaries, which is the real issue.
That's also like, kind of crazy. It's like there's so many people in the world.
And I don't think people who are... actually poly or respect the dynamism of poly relationships break those boundaries. I think people are young and dumb, and when they're figuring out things, and including myself, and when they're figuring things out, people make mistakes. Feelings don't always follow rules. Like that's just the way things go.
How old is this person?
This person is 23.
Okay.
And I think that's like,
yeah, that's,
that's a that's normal
that's
age.
Prime hotbed age.
Yeah. I just think in all of the issues with open relationships that I know, or poly relationships that I know, is that usually one person wants it more than the other. The other person is convinced, and then they try and set rules, and then one of those people starts breaking the rules. And that is
you sound like a teacher right now.
It's
like
you,
it.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
And those are things we think, not things we say.
And I feel like the couple people I've ever met that have set the rules and both have been pumped about the situation and don't break the rules, their poly relationship is great.
I also agree. I was thinking about that person as well.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So you're asking now what do after
what
this smoldering
do.
Wreck?
Yeah. This sucks. To be in your situation, by the way, I don't think you're like stupid for being in this situation or something. I think this is like a relatable common spot to be in. And now that it's happened, it's like, I trust that you'll be able to navigate this situation if it comes up better in the future. But now you're in this situation where you're forced to, you know, confront moving out, which blows because they've basically turned their back on you. I hope you don't have to pay any like weird fees to like exit this lease and shit. I would definitely not want to live with these people for one.
Yeah, it's not
I think
worth
they've
it.
Like, you know, whether or not how bad of people they are, they've kind of caused damage in your life. And I wouldn't want to remove myself from that environment for sure. I know it sucks to move soon after. If you need more time, I think like politely asking and being like, hey, it's like, you're forcing me to move out. I need a little more time to like get my stuff sorted and find a new place. Like that you should be able to get that grace at least. This girl doesn't sound super reasonable or a great friend, by the
way.
Yeah,
she sounds like she's being kind of mean about it. So I don't know. The work thing also sucks, but like work's work. It does. I can see why you had this rule. I think it's a great fucking rule.
Great rule.
I think you're really smart for putting that one out there.
Great rule.
Because you don't want this shit to like invade places that you would find sanctuary in, like your job or your home life. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But it happened anyway. I don't know the nature of your job. I don't know the dynamics. I don't know all the shit. But you say you like your job. If you can stomach your boss and your ex-girlfriend or whatever, your ex-partner doing, you know, being involved with each other, then keep your job. But stomaching it is not anything we can give you advice on.
Yeah.
That is just your, like,
I think if you, I think removing
journey.
Yourself, removing yourself from living with them, or sorry, I couldn't tell if your boss also lived in the same place from the way you worded it.
I think
it was
just with his partner that is no longer his partner. I don't know.
I think if not living with your ex or them both, sorry, whatever the situation is, I think not living with them will create some sense of relief of this situation, regardless of whether you quit your job or not. And seeing if just moving and finding space for yourself and maybe spending less time with this girl just alleviates the problem of being around your boss at work is a place to start. And then if being around your boss is something you can't stomach after like all that has transpired, then you can start looking into finding a new job. But I think moving and distancing yourself from the girl is a better place to start. Because from the way you've written this, I feel like your boss has like done is the least egregious of the parties here. Like maybe not the most sensitive thing, but he is your boss and not necessarily your friend from what I can tell.
It's weird that they're all so close.
Yeah.
They're all so close making beads and hats and whatnot in their little poly storefront. What the
at
fuck
the
y'all
poly
even sell?
Store.
The damn poly pockets. So what the fuck y'all even sell in there? Some damn.
I wanna know what retail store they were at.
You selling to you tell this fucking damn goddamn Target. Everyone goddamn sucking and fucking at the Target. Red shirt pissing me
back
off.
Back in the fucking break room.
Back in the break room just fucking stinks. Break room fucking stinks like sex all day.
God. He said, well, it's not Target. He said that the guy, fucking the boss, is one of the three owners of the store.
They own,
imagine
yeah.
it's still Target.
They own
it's like the CEO of Target.
Oh, it's like high level.
Oh, shit. That's,
you know what that always reminds
dude,
me of?
Dude, Brian Cornell is your boss, dude.
It always reminds me of how Jeff Bezos has had everything in the world, and he still fucked his best friend's wife.
I know, dude. It's
like,
crazy.
Dude, that's crazy.
It's like,
like crazy.
He just wanted it all.
He wanted the one thing he would still is like kind of not cool to have.
So fucked up.
That's crazy.
You have it all. You could do anything. He's fucking, he's a space company.
Dude, outer space.
And it still wasn't enough. I think, yeah, the move out situation, deal with that first. Move out. It's not going to be convenient. Better to get space from this person. And then circle fucking back to your job. And if it's still shitty, like a month, 2 months from now, or a month after, like, you've moved out and you're still having a rough time with it, then I think it's time to consider moving jobs. Because it's not worth being miserable because of this thing you can't stop thinking about all the time.
Am I just different? Am I just like...
What? What would you say?
No, man, I'm just talking about, like, my brain. Like, man, why... Like, some of these damn fucking kids, man, they just, like...
This is on some old man shit right now.
They don't got no damn feelings, man.
They do have feelings, dude. Most of them get hurt by this, too. I also don't think most young people are trying poly relationships.
No, it's most young men who just want to fuck other girls.
Yeah, but this was different.
I know. Which is crazy to me.
I think it's used as a crutch. I think the most common scenario is someone who... This is what I think is... actually happening.
Why don't you tell me how it fucking
this
is?
This is how it actually is.
I want to hear that shit.
I think young people are just bad at confrontation, and people are probably bad at confrontation in general, but I think people are worse at it when they're younger, and they're also don't like being like heavy on commitment or the idea of like upsetting someone. So the easiest way to handle things is to be like non-exclusive, or like don't put a label on it, or I want to have an open relationship. Something that gives you like a way out to like other people that's easier. Because I do think ultimately, I think something that I skimmed over, and I'm glad you touched on this. Most people who want this or ask for this, I feel like, are guys. Guys who just want to fuck other girls, and also in turn don't think it's cool that that the girl they're seeing sleeps with other people.
Yeah.
They want to have their cake and eat it too.
I know.
And that is the most common scenario.
I know.
And it's super shitty.
It's fucked up.
Because in principle, if you believe in sleeping with other people and you think you're emotionally mature enough to like handle that basically, then you have to have the self-respect for it to work the other way.
Yeah. And often it's not the case.
No.
I remember the girl I was dating, she's like, okay, well, would you be upset if I like was having sex with other women? And I was like, I don't think so. She's like,
that's
she was so annoyed at me. And I'm like, yeah, you deserve to be annoyed at me right now. Not that I gave her a hard time or anything. I think I was pretty upfront and like, you know what, I can't do this and stuff, but it was definitely something I learned.
I had this exact conversation with a friend recently. He was like, I'm down if she wants to sleep with like this female friend of hers that she's like kind of into, but I'm not down if she's sleeping with other men.
Isn't that interesting?
And I was like, dude, that's the problem.
I know.
Listen to yourself.
It
like
is
you
a problem.
Like work through the like mental logic behind that, like why you think about that. And I think ultimately, if you don't like if you're not comfortable with your partner sleeping with somebody else, I think it's okay to draw lines. I'm not going to fucking convince tell people
no,
they're
but
like
you just shouldn't be able to you shouldn't
but,
be like making these little fucking like for thee and not for me.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think you can like implement these rules that are so obviously hypocritical.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It's not fair to the other person. Anyway, I hope you deal with this easily and quickly. Best of luck with moving out. I hope there's not too many hoops to jump through. It really sucks to be in that spot. And I don't think this, from what you have described, I do not think this, your ex, is a good friend.
It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah. And you know more than we do about whether or not this person's worth keeping around. But personally, I would spend less time with this person.
Yep. All right. Well, take it easy, guys. And remember, drink your monsters through a straw to save your enamel.
Save your enamel.
And we'll see you on the other
side. It says it on the can, actually.
See on the other side. It does say it on the can. Johnson & Johnson.